بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام الأتمان الأكملان على خير خلق الله أجمعين، وعلى آله وصحبه ومن اهتدى بهديه وتحلى بصفاته إلى يوم الدين. أما بعد، فقد قال تعالى في القرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد بعد: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الله يجتبي إليه من يشاء ويهدي إليه من ينيب. وقال تعالى: ألا بذكر الله تطمئن القلوب. صدق الله العظيم. وقد قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: قد أفلح من أسلم وكان رزقه كفافا وقنعه الله بما آتاه، أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام. Respected علماء الكرام, elders, beloved brothers in Islam, there is one characteristic, one attribute, one quality that each and every insan, each and every person is searching for, which has become the quest, the pursuit of our lives, regardless of a person's background, young, old, wealthy, poor, male, female, in whatever financial bracket a person may be, whichever social bracket he may belong to. One quality, one attribute, one characteristic which every person is looking for, is searching for, is seeking, yet many a times is elusive, is out of reach, and that is true and genuine contentment, peace of mind, peace of heart. The poor person is searching for it, the wealthy person is looking for it, the youngster is searching for it, the elderly man is also on the lookout for it. But this attribute, this characteristic just seems to be out of reach. When it comes to the West, when it comes to those who are devoid of Iman and Islam, the solution that they have offered, how does a person find this attribute? How does a person develop this quality within himself? The solution that they have put forth is to turn to the fulfillment of desires. What we would generally term as hedonism, the blind pursuit of one's desires. That the more a person gives in to his desires, the more entertainment that is found within the life of a person, the more so-called enjoyment that a person finds within his life will bring him peace of mind and contentment. But this method, my dear brothers, is a tried and tested method which has failed. If we look at the suicide rates, the depression rates in the so-called first world countries, where the avenues of the fulfillment of desires have reached its peak, where day in and day out the pursuit continues. A person wakes up in the morning and his only objective and goal is to make more, to increase his material wealth, to increase his possessions, to enjoy himself. That which should bring about peace of mind, which should create contentment within the heart, which should bring about a feeling of fulfillment and satisfaction. Yet we find the suicide rate is on the rise. The number of depression cases is on the rise. Medication is increasing. The hospital visits are increasing. The psychiatrist's offices are full. This method is very clearly a failed method. But for those who have Iman in Islam, my dear brothers, Allah Jalla Jalaluhu has given us the solution within our deen. And Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala very clearly highlights the solution. If a person is on this quest for contentment, he is looking for peace of mind and heart, he is searching for inner happiness and satisfaction, he wants to go to bed with a feeling of fulfillment in his heart, then very clearly Allah Jalla Jalaluhu says, Allah means listen, lend an ear, be attentive. The solution is going to be given to you. بِذِكْرِ اللَّهِ تَطْمَئِنُّ الْقُلُوبِ. It is only the obedience of Allah, it is only the remembrance of Allah, it is only connecting with Allah which will bring about true contentment of the heart. That which has been mentioned in the hadith of Abdullah bin Amr bin As radiallahu anhu, قَدْ أَفْلَحَ مَنْ أَسْلَمَ. Successful is that person who has Islam. وَكَانَ رِزْقُهُ كَفَافًا. His provisions are sufficient. He has enough to make ends meet. He may not have surplus wealth. وَقَنَّعَهُ اللَّهُ بِمَا آتَاهُ. But Allah has blessed him with contentment. This inner satisfaction, this feeling of fulfillment, contentment, each and every person would attest to having found it to an extent in the month of Ramadan. As we are well aware, my dear brothers, it was just a few days ago that we bid farewell to the month of Ramadan. And it seems as though it was not very long ago that we were ushering in and welcoming the month of Ramadan. The peak, the highlight, the pinnacle, the climax of the Islamic calendar. But each and every person, regardless of how close or how far he may be, will attest and confirm that during the month of Ramadan, to an extent and to a great degree, I did find that peace of mind and contentment. I may have been like a fish out of water in the masjid. I may have felt as though this is not my domain. But to a great extent, when I broke my fast at the time of iftar, when I stood behind the imam in Taraweeh Salah, when I woke up at an odd hour of the morning to partake of Sari, that feeling of fulfillment was there. That feeling of contentment was there. That feeling of inner peace and happiness was there. The million-dollar question, my dear brothers, how do I maintain this for the rest of the year? How do I keep that inner peace of mind and contentment of the heart? In the month of Ramadan, to a great degree, it was easy to obey Allah. The environment was created. The masjid was full. To abstain and avoid the acts of disobedience of Allah to an extent was facilitated for me. But now that the month of Ramadan has come to an end, what is the way forward? The very first point for us to note, my dear brothers, which is extremely important and something which many a times we labor under misconception with regard to, is that the level of spirituality, the level of exertion, the quantity of ibadat that a person was able to do in the month of Ramadan, this is not sustainable outside of the month of Ramadan. It is not possible, it is naive for a person to be under the impression that I will be able to maintain the high standard that I set for myself in the month of Ramadan. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam very clearly has highlighted to us that when the month of Ramadan would commence, he himself would increase his efforts. And when the last 10 days would commence, then he would make an even further increase. From this we can understand, outside of the month of Ramadan, we will not maintain that level and standard. Hanzala radiyallahu anhu meets Abu Bakr radiyallahu anhu. Abu Bakr asks him, Kaifa anta ya Hanzala? Oh Hanzala, how are you doing today? He replies, Nafaqa Hanzala. Hanzala has become a munafiq. He has become a hypocrite. In other words, he has lost his iman. Abu Bakr radiyallahu anhu is taken aback by surprise. He says, what do you mean? He explains to him, Nakunu inda Rasulillah. يُذَكِّرُنَا بِالنَّارِ وَالْجَنَّةِ حَتَّى كَأَنَّا رَأْيَ عَيْنِ. He says that when we are in the company of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, when the environment is made, and he reminds us of Jannat, of Jahannam, of what awaits us in the life after death, then it becomes so vivid in our minds as though we can see it in front of us. And then, when we leave his company, and we now engage ourselves in our daily chores and tasks, we interact with our wives and children, we begin to administer and manage our properties and our wealth, this feeling, this understanding, this consciousness begins to diminish. And therefore I feel as though I have now become a munafiq. I have become a hypocrite, I have lost my iman. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu says to him, Oh Hanzala, I am going through the very same condition that you have described. Let us go to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and let us put this forward to him. Have we lost our iman? Both of them set off. They come to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. O Nabi of Allah, nafaqa Hanzala. I have become a munafiq. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam questions him, وَمَا ذَاك؟ Describe your condition, O Hanzala. He describes to him the very same thing that he described to Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. That, O Nabi of Allah, in your company we are on a spiritual high. But the moment we leave your company, the moment the environment is taken away, then we feel as though these emotions and feelings have disappeared. Is this nifaq, is this hypocrisy? Look at the response. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says to him, O Hanzala, if your condition had to remain on the same level, if you had to constantly experience this spiritual high, then your condition would be such that when you walk in the pathways, the angels would come and greet you also. In other words, you would be living a life that is out of this world. But this is not the system of this world. Sa'atan fa sa'atan. O Hanzala, there is a time and place for everything. What is the lesson, my dear brothers? We should not labor under the misconception that out of the month of Ramadan, I will maintain the level that I set for myself in the month of Ramadan. This, to a great extent, is highly improbable. But it should not be that if I lose some degree of spirituality, some degree of feeling, some degree of closeness, that I now let go of it altogether. The challenge, my dear brothers, is to maintain the bare minimum. What does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala want from me? The example ulama have given. For each and every person to realize that I have it within me. No matter how far I may think I may have gone. But I do have it within me to obey Allah. To avoid the acts that will displease Allah. The example ulama have given of the fasting person. It is 5 minutes to iftar. The savories are laid on the table for him. The sweet and cold milkshake is in front of him. He is thirsty, he is hungry. He's already fasted for 13, 14 hours. There's just 5 minutes left before the adhan of Maghrib can be called out. And somebody says to him, why don't you break your fast now? There's just 5 minutes left, what difference will it make? Then no matter how far away from deen a person may be, what will his response be? That how dare I break my fast if the muadhin has not called out the adhan? If the time has not set in, if the sun has not set, how dare I break my fast? Why? It's just 5 minutes. This is the command of Allah. How conscious a person becomes, how aware a person becomes of the command of Allah right now. The person who is in i'tikaf, he enters the masjid. How conscious he becomes of the boundary of the masjid. That I must not even mistakenly step beyond this line. To the extent he goes and he questions the mufti or the alim, that if I put my head out, does my i'tikaf break or not? So conscious he becomes, so aware he becomes of the boundary of the masjid. Ulama say, take an example from that person who is in i'tikaf. Take an example from the fasting person. If he developed that degree of consciousness, if he developed that degree of awareness, I can also do it for the rest of the year. Just as he was aware of the boundary of the masjid, there are boundaries that Allah has laid down for us. When it comes to the do's and don'ts of Sharia, just as he was aware that I should not put even 1 foot beyond the line, because my i'tikaf will break. Likewise, my awareness, my consciousness should be such that I should not step beyond the boundaries and the hudud and limits laid down by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the very first thing to bear in mind, my dear brothers, is that the spiritual level that we may have achieved in the month of Ramadan will not be maintained outside of the month of Ramadan. But at the same time, how do I maintain the bare minimum? Just two very simple and easy solutions. The very first, which we have been taught in various ayat of the Quran Sharif, and throughout the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when a person wishes to preserve a bounty of Allah, and he wants that bounty to continue and to increase, understand this is not within our control, but it is only the favor of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam offers us the prescription. He gives us the solution. If you want that bounty to continue, you wish that bounty should increase. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says, constantly express gratitude for that bounty. Be thankful to Allah, be appreciative to Allah. لَإِن شَكَرْتُمْ لَأَزِيدَنَّكُمْ. The promise of Allah and Allah's promise does not break. If you will express gratitude, if you will show appreciation, if you will be grateful for my favor, I will increase it in your life. You will appreciate the wealth I have given you, I will increase it for you. You will appreciate the health I have blessed you with, I will maintain that good health for you. And if you will appreciate the deeni and imani bounties I have given you, then I will allow those favors to also increase in your life. The consciousness of Allah, the taqwa that we built in the month of Ramadan, the dedication and devotion to the masjid, the ability to make tilawat of Quran Sharif, to avoid the evil habits that may have crept into my life before the month of Ramadan. If you will express gratitude for my favors, that, oh Allah, the month of Ramadan passed, it was only your favor upon me. It was only your bounty that I was able to achieve what I achieved. Then Allah's promise, I will allow these bounties to continue, I will increase them in your life. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, to this extent, on a daily basis would make shukr just for his iman alone. Alhamdulillahi ala ni'matil Islam. The dua of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, O Allah, all praise is due, all thanks is due to you, that you blessed me with iman. To this extent, when Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam would be eating and drinking also, he would not forget this. Alhamdulillahi alladhi at'amana wa saqana wa ja'alana muslimin. When thanking Allah for the food and drink Allah blessed him with, then too he would remember the bounty of iman in Islam. So the very first solution, my dear brothers, the very first prescription, if we want to maintain some momentum after the month of Ramadan, make it my daily habit and practice. Thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the iman and the imani favors Allah has blessed me with. There is a masjid in my locality. How many of us ever thanked Allah for the presence of that masjid? There are ulama within my community. How many of us expressed appreciation to Allah for the favor of the company of the ulama and the pious? Express gratitude to Allah. Allah will increase these favors and bounties. And the second prescription, my dear brothers, which is the tried and tested system of Allah in this world. The verse I recited in the beginning, Allahu yajtabi ilayhi man yasha wa yahdi ilayhi man yunib. One is the qudrat, the power, the ability that Allah has to select and choose whomsoever He wishes. And one is the tried and tested system of Allah. Allah will give guidance, Allah will give increase, Allah will protect who? Man yunib. That person who takes the initiative, who puts his foot forward. He shows Allah, I am willing to make a change now after the month of Ramadan. In the olden days, perhaps the elderly will remember, when the month of Ramadan would come, the parda would be put onto the TV screen. A sheet would be thrown over it, or the doors of the cupboard would be closed. Some initiative was taken, some step was taken to show Allah, I want to get rid of this. How many a times we mentioned to the youngsters, take courage, pluck up the courage that Allah has given you. Those social media applications that you have, you do not need it in your life. That which is destroying your life right now, destroying your spirituality, breaking your connection between you and Allah, pluck up the courage and remove it from your phone. Delete those accounts and see the contentment Allah will bless you with. How many a businessman offers up the excuse? Business cannot work without these applications, without these platforms. Understand, my dear brothers, for a person of iman, Allah is the provider. Allah is not in need of some social media application. Allah is not in need of some haram platform and avenue. But Allah can bless us from His unseen treasures. Now is the time, my dear brothers, the hearts are soft after the month of Ramadan. Effort was made, sacrifice was made. Right now for me to show my initiative before Allah, to put my best foot forward and show Allah I am prepared to make a change. And to this extent, ulama explain, if perhaps I cannot make a change publicly, perhaps it is so difficult for me to grow my beard or to change my dressing or to alter the circle of friends and company that I keep. I have some name to uphold. If I cannot yet make a change publicly, at least within the privacy of my home, create a change. At least make the environment within my home, this will become a stepping stone. Remove the avenues of the displeasure of Allah from within my life. If I have something within my home that is earning the displeasure of Allah, take up the courage and remove it from my home. If my business is being run on un-Islamic principles, begin to make that change. It may not happen overnight. It may take months or even years to achieve. But I began my journey. Ulama say that person who booked his ticket, accommodation was paid for, the visa was taken out. And he got onto the plane and he's en route for his Hajj of Islam, his Fard Hajj. He doesn't even make it past Dubai and he passes away. There is great hope on the day of Qiyamah, Allah will raise him with the Hujjaj. That he will have an accepted Hajj to his name. Why? He began his journey. Right now for us to begin our journey, my dear brothers, to show Allah I am taking the initiative. I will pluck up the courage. I may not be able to fix it in one day or one night. But I am starting my journey. And this much, my dear brothers, if I cannot do it within my own life, then ulama say the bare minimum is do not become a hindrance to those around me. How many a times young friends and students will complain, I want to make a change in my life. I want to bring about proper segregation within the home. I want to avoid intermingling in our functions and get-togethers. I want to correct things within my life. My parents will not allow me to do so. They insist that I should attend this gathering. They insist I should dress in this way. They have become a hindrance and an obstruction to me. At least this much, my dear brothers, if I cannot do it myself, then I will not become a hindrance and a means of obstruction to others. I will not pass nasty comments. This person is very strict. This person is too pious. At least by means of passive support, Allah will give me the reward also. We'll terminate with just one incident as an eye-opener for us. If I could not do it, but I assisted somebody else, I facilitated it for somebody else, it may be my child, it may be my nephew, it may be my grandson, it may be some family member of mine, some person within the community, I opened the door for him. How will Allah repay me within my own life? There was one doctor, very wealthy, well set in his life. He had a younger brother who wished to study the deen of Islam. He wanted to enroll in a Darul Uloom, in a madrasa, but he did not have the funds. The parents had passed away. So this doctor says to his younger brother, I will facilitate your journey of studying for you. Whatever your needs are, I will take care of it. I could not do it. I have become a doctor. I did not get the opportunity to study deen, but I will support you. I will not obstruct you in any way. He sends his younger brother off to a foreign country. And for 10 years of his studies, he supports him. His tuition fees, his stationery, his spending, his boarding, his lodging. This doctor pays for his younger brother. He was an unknown person. Outwardly, not much of deen was apparent on him. Nobody would have given him a second glance. But he paved the way for somebody else. He did not become a hindrance and an obstruction to somebody. How does Allah repay the doctor? Look at the death, the maut Allah blesses him with. He is in some town somewhere. It is the time for salah. Somebody puts him forward on the musalla. That you perform the salah. He starts the salah. He reads his surah Fatiha surah. He goes into ruku. He comes out of ruku. As he is going to sajda, Allah takes away his soul. On the musalla's imamat, going into sajda, his ruh comes out. When they were questioned thereafter, what did he do in his life? He did not seem to be a very pious person. His life may not have been 100%. The answer was given, he paved the way for his younger brother. The reward is now accruing and coming to him. So the bare minimum, my dear brothers, at least this much, make this intention. If I cannot achieve it myself, if I cannot do it myself, I will not become an obstruction to those around me. I will facilitate the way for them, pave the way for them, support them, help them. Through this, Allah will give me tawfiq and ability. A revolution will be created in their lives, in my life. On the day of Qiyamah, I will be counted as an obedient slave of Allah. Allah give us tawfiq and correct understanding. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.